The end is coming. Like my sign? The end is coming. Coming in exactly 24 days. You need to prepare for the end. We all need to prepare for the end. The end of the semester is coming. If you have not been doing your homework or turning in your assignments, you do not have much time left to get it done, and prayer will not help you. The end of the year is coming. December the 31st is what is exactly 24 days away. If you have not paid enough taxes, if you haven't quite given enough to fulfill your pledge to the church this year, you still have the time, but not much time. You need to figure out how to do it now. The end is coming. It is an old joke, really. The New Yorker made a small business over the decades of publishing cartoons featuring the guy with the sign, right? One of my favorites is two guys with just this sign fighting on a street corner over who gets to have that corner. And another one is a guy with a sign like this that says, "The middle is coming." He says to a passerby, "I'm a centrist." I think that must be the Episcopal version of being a doomsayer. The end is near. It's hard to get us to believe that, but when it finally sinks in, when the final exam is coming or the end of the tax year is right there ahead of you, we finally spring into action. And the thing we most want to do in that moment is to make sure we have settled accounts. We want to know that we have minimized our liabilities and maximized our assets. That same sort of urgency that comes out around tax time or final examinations, that is what the people around John the Baptist feel. For them, it is a very different kind of ending. They are expecting the end of time. Around them, everything seems to be pointing toward a cataclysm. The Romans are in power, but things are not going well with them. The Jewish people are arguing among themselves about the best way to secure their own survival. Some want to get along with the Romans. After all, they have the soldiers. Some want to fight them. Some believe that only greater and better perfection in observing Jewish laws will save them. And everyone desperately wants to be delivered from their unbearable circumstances. They are all looking for something. They just don't agree what it is they are looking for. That is the situation when John the Baptist comes on the scene. Spare a moment in your prayer this week to appreciate the remarkable example of John the Baptist. Such a person we cannot imagine in our own day. We are surrounded by people who are desperate to tweet or twerk or tirade their way into celebrity. We are beset with people clamoring for a slice of our attention. John the Baptist has a following they would envy. Not a Twitter following, not a social media following, a real following. People following him around the countryside. Hundreds and thousands of them going wherever he goes and paying attention to everything he says. And with all that potential in his grasp, with all of those people coming out with their urgent hopes and bringing those to him to make things right before it's too late, John does something we cannot imagine. He says that it is not about him. They are all looking for something. He is not what they are looking for. What they are looking for, he says, they are going to find, but it is not him. It is a magnificent act of true humility. John is at one and the same moment profoundly charismatic and profoundly humble. We do not have many examples of that. It is worth a prayer of thanks that such a man once existed and gave us an example of what truly humble leadership looks like. But still they come. They come to settle accounts, their own accounts. They come out for a ritual that will both mark and encourage what they know they need to do. Admit where they have fallen short of God's hopes for them, make things right with the people they've hurt, and put it all behind them so that they can move forward into a future, a better future. They come to get baptized to both mark and motivate this change. What it means for them is to settle accounts with God. It means not just to wash away the past, but to change the contours of the possibilities of the future. Part of the job you have when you are the rector of a parish is to create something like that sense of urgency within your community. It is to get people to understand, to get you to understand, that these are not just sweet stories about the past. They are the things on which our very lives depend. I know I don't do this as well as John the Baptist did, but it is what I'm trying to do. It is what anyone in this ministry is called to do. It is to follow the example of John, to create that sense of both urgency and the possibility of hope, and to point beyond ourselves and our moment to the promise of what is coming. The good news is, it is coming. So this week, take some time to sit down, tally up both sides of the ledger, and settle accounts with God. That is the Advent opportunity. Today is the day to seize it. Amen.